about. We were speaking about that the Baskol, basically, the way we understood it, is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continuing to communicate with us, but in a sense, in a roundabout way. Shamata Ma'acharecha, right? You hear from behind you, right? So, and from the Yerushalmi, it sounded like that the method of communication is not necessarily a voice. The method of communication may be a Roman centurion throwing you out of your seat at Meadowlands, right? And Samti Adam Tatech. So it's interesting. So the mission in Perkei Avos, Perek Hay, it's not on the outline, but Perkei Avos says Asara Dvorim Nivru BeErev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. There were 10 things created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Ve'eluhain Pi Haaretz. Right, the ground that swallowed up Korach, Va'adosa, Piha Be'er, the Be'er Shel Miriam, Piha Osoin, the mouth of the donkey, right, Bilam's donkey, Rakeshes, the rainbow, Va'haman, Va'amate, Va'ashamir, Va'aksa, Va'michta, Va'luchois, Yoshoim, Afam Azikin, Ukvarosa Shel Moshe, Va'eloi Shel Avram Avinu. So first of all, the Maharal points out, and the Mefarshim cite him, that doesn't mean they were actually created then, because there's no reason that a Kodesh Baruch Hu would have an ayil that would live for, 2,000 years, or a donkey that would live for, 4,000 years, or however long the various things are. It just doesn't make sense, right? But the Gzeira was they should be created. But the question the Maharal points out, what does it mean that it was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes? So, because everything that was necessary on an absolute level for creation is created during Sheshi Semei Amaisa. So, creating something, worms were created Sheshi Semei Amaisa. You need worms to aerate the soil and stuff like that, right? I don't know how many worms you need per acre, but some disgusting amount, right? And they're created during the 6 days, right? Ben Hashmoshes is a time which is not day or night. It's indeterminate when day or night is, right? Is it, it's like Schrodinger's mum, is it actually day yet? Is it not? Is it still day? Is it night? Etc. So creating something or making a zera to create something, then it's almost like they're iffy in the sense that if necessary, they'll come into the world, but they may not be necessary. In other words, I haven't worked it out for each one of them, but for example, the Pi Haaretz, right, had Korach in his free will not rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, there would not have been a need for Pi Haaretz. So therefore, it's not created during the 6 days, because it's not like something which is necessary for the world. It's not like bees, worms, right? Those are necessary for existence. This is not necessary unless Korach messes up. Okay, and the same is true for a whole bunch of them. They are in a sense conditional upon some human free will, in a sense that not necessarily messing up, by the way, but a contingent. They're contingent, I think, is the correct word here. So Ason, the mouth of the donkey, that's like an interesting one. Why is that something which is Benash? How is that a universal? Well, not just universal, but how is that something which is cosmic? Right? I mean, it's rebuking Bilam, right? It's showing Bilam that look, you think you're amazing because you can talk in the name of Hashem. Here's a donkey, you can do the same thing, right? So it's not so. Why is that cosmic? So Ramosha explained that he based it on the Maharal that the. When you think about it, the Torah says, right, Lo kam navi be Yisrael kam Moshe od. So it says be Yisrael lo kam, aval be'umas olam kam. So that's our next ikar, right, is that there is no nevuah like that of Moshe Rabbeinu. But we know that Bilam, it says, was equivalent, which is a very strange thing. Bilam's a completely corrupt, egotistical rosha, and here he is. His nevuah is equated with that of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a half little fella. Right? So there's a lot of discussion about this, but one explanation is the following. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is such, his ego was so minimum, and his that there was no input of self into his nevuah, which means whatever came out of his mouth, Dvar Hashem, period. There's no input of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Someone tells me something, and I pass it along, there's a little bit of me involved in that, because I've got an ego. Shocking, but right, so I've got an ego, and that ego leaves its imprint right? The filter of my mind leaves this imprint on what I'm telling over to you, even though I absorbed it from someone else, right? So I'm not like an MP3, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, he was such that he was such an onov mikolodom ashal pnei ha'adama, that he was able to do that. So in other words, everything came out of his mouth, the Dvar Hashem, pure. Same is true of Bilam, but not for the same reason. In other words, like effects does not necessarily imply like causes. Okay, the effect is that words come out of Bilam's mouth are the words of Hashem mamash. What's the cause? So in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's this incredible anivus. In the case of Bilam, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He had such a great ego that Hashem circumvented him, so that his mouth, what came out of his mouth, was the words of Hashem without being processed by Bilam. Not because Bilam was nichna so much and was such an onov that he didn't affect it, but rather because Hashem circumvented Bilam's brain, so to speak, and just used his mouth. So he was, in a sense, a ventriloquist dummy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Make sense? Right. Which means that blatantly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Bilam that? I can do the same to the donkey. Do the same to the donkey? Right. So that's the case of Bilam. But in what way is that? Okay, so we understand that that's a direct Musar Tochocha to Bilam, etc. Plus what the donkey said, also significant, as Rashi points out, etc., etc. Plus, just as the Rambam points out, a makor for Tzar Bala Chaim, right? So in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam says, because the first thing that the Malach says to Bilam, he's on his way to curse the Jewish people, he's blatantly transgressed Dvar Hashem, he's a Novi who is denying Hashem's word, what's the first thing the Malach says to him? Almahi kisa es asoincha, what are you hitting your donkey for? It's like unbelievable. Like the cops stop some guy who's just committed an armed robbery at a bank, etc. And they stop him and they say, "Sir, your tail light is out." So, and in addition, you know, so clearly, so he says that's a makor for Tzav al-Haim, type of interesting. Meshe Chochma discusses it at length. But anyway, how is it cosmic? So Ramosha Shapiro claims that the idea behind this is that this is the first example of a bus call. Here is someone who is not totally inappropriate for Nevuah. For various reasons, he needs to be a Navi, Bilam. And for various reasons, he needs to hear something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when someone is not on the level, or is inappropriate, or it's not the correct moment or time, etc., for actual Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use something else to communicate with. What does Hashem use to communicate? In this case, he uses the osoin, piha osoin. So in that sense, right, had we remained on a darga of having nevuah, right, and the yitzra davar azara, etc., that continued, we would have been able to absorb dvar Hashem from outside, so to speak, then we wouldn't have needed, so to speak, the bus call, the piha osoin. But once we are on that madrega, so it's necessary, so it is brought into the world, so it's contingent. But now that it's so the piha osoin, in a sense, is the advent of the bus call concept. It's the communication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through things which are not necessarily the normal method. So like the Gemara says, right, children and fools, right? So, or as I sell my kids, children and other fools. So, but basically, it's through children and fools. That's where the Nevuah comes in from an inappropriate or a source which is not the ideal. So that's one of the ideas I want to just mention from Moshe regarding the bus call. Just to look a little further on our outline. So you look at the bottom of the page. Just before we get the very, well, the Shulchan Aruch we already mentioned, but it said that Muta Loima Latinoik Psoikli Psukeich. We mentioned that's a type of a form of a bas kol. Yeshoimim to Adam Muta Lasos Lois Siman Bedavashi Ovala Osid, Kamosha Osa Eliezer Evan Avraham or Yehoinasan. Right, you know, they snap on the Philistines, right, the Plishtim, you know, etc. Vyesh Oisrim. Yeah, you know, to figure out if they're going to send out a patrol, that means they're not scared. If they're not going to send out a patrol, then, right? V'yesh oisrim, v'ahoylech b'tom u'botech b'Hashem chesed yisov venu. And the Rama says this in a number of places. He mentions Tamim Tihia Im Hashem Elokecha, that one should not, even though there may be legitimate ways of looking into the future, right? Certainly illegitimate ways are obviously Osir for various reasons, Isser and Dereisa and so on and so forth. Even legitimate ways of doing it, right? Many poskim would say the Rama seems to indicate that it's a bittul of mitzvah sase Tamim Tihia Im Hashem Elokecha. There's a sefer called Tamim Tihia. Tamim Tihia in Hebrew is called Tamim Tihia. In English it's called the Occult in Jewish Law by the famous Mekubal in Yerushalayim. He's the Rosh Hashiva of Shari Shemaim. Rav Yaakov Moshe Hillel. So Rav Yaakov Moshe Hillel has a sefer called Tamim Tihia, in which he's a great Mekubal, and the entire Sefer is about not going to Mekubalim, basically, more or less, right? And how it's a bittul of Tamim Tihia Hashem Elokecha in many ways, even if it is legitimate, and he points out that mostly it's not legitimate, most of Mishlatans, and even when it is legitimate, it's an issue of Tamim Tihia. It's amazing, he's got haskamas from everyone in front, literally, right? It's type of like, you know, it's unbelievable. So, but one of the haskamas from Rav Shach tells a story of a bocher who got engaged, and he was in Ponovich, and a couple of friends told him, we see how far this has reached, that's actually in Ponovich, right, the Makor of Lito, you know, Lithuanian, right? Friends told him, you know, you should take your name and your colour's name to a Mekubal. He looks at their names and he tells you amazing stuff. The guy says, okay, why not? Right, stupid. Right, so he takes the names of he and his colour to the Mekubal. The Mekubal looks at the names and starts crying. Not looking good, right? And he says, disaster. He says, you can't marry him. So the guy obviously is distraught. I mean, distraught. They put the deposit down already on the hall and the band, right? So, from other aspects, right? But he goes to Rav Shach, and he asks Rav Shach what he should do. And Rav Shach says, well, what do you mean? What's a shayla? He says, well, you know, this Mekubal said it was a disaster. Rav Shach says, well, why did you choose to marry this young lady? So he says, you know, compatible, I'm attracted to her. So you're a Shemayim. He says, no. And he says, why do you think she married you? He says, probably similar reasons. He says, right. He says, that's what Chazal say. So you've done what you have to do. Forget it. All the rest is rubbish. Right? You don't have to worry about anything else. You did what Chazal said to do. You're marrying her for reasons that Chazal said are legitimate. She's marrying you for reasons Chazal said are legitimate. You're both following the halacha. Why should you be concerned with what this guy said? So that's what he quotes at the beginning. So Tamim Tihia. So even though, you know, we have this idea that there is still concept of bas kol, and there is still a concept of maybe even psoikli psukeich, right, which is legitimate. Sometimes it's not asking about the future, maybe asking to, you know, just for help. But as a general rule, we try to avoid these type of things. As a general rule, right, Tamim Tihia. Right, it's kind of like, you know, in terms of, you want to know what to do, so Hashem actually told us once. Right. So you know, that's it, right? So, okay. Let's have a look at Rabbeinu Bachai. Vada, ki arba madregas heim nevuah bas kol urim v'tumim ruach hakodesh nevuah. He says four levels. Kulam madregas chaluka zula ma'alim izu. V'kulam nimshochos min amidah nikres tzedek. Zehu tzedek levasti v'yol b'sheini. I cannot claim to understand any of this, but the idea that there are four madregas of nevuah, we do know Urim v'Tumim is a form of nevuah. Wasn't like some automatic device like there was a popular in the 70s, early 70s, called Chariots of the Gods. Anyone ever heard of it? I hope not. Good. By Eric von Daniken, who basically has all these like crazy theories about aliens visiting the Earth, how the Orin Kodesh is a communication device with the mothership. You know, the type of stuff which is popular on the Discovery Channel. Right, so anyway, Hinini Mevarlacha Bekan, so we're saying Urim V'Tumim was not some, it was a communication device, yes, but it was Nevuah. If you didn't have Nevuah, if you were on the appropriate Madrega, Urim V'Tumim was just a bunch of gemstones and basically advanced biblical bling. Right, Hinini Mevarlacha Bekan, Arba Madregas Halalu. Harishoina Baskol, the first is a Baskol. Okay, so we have to stop now, but he's going to explain that why is it called Baskol, not Benkol. right? You know, v'chein b'mashram was there b'na'av, binyanav, right? The Gemara always talks about binyanav as opposed to, it doesn't say binyan aim. But on the other hand, it does say yesh aim l'mikro, yesh aim l'masoires. So what's with the male or female designations in these areas? Just briefly, before, I don't want to be too much of a cliffhanger because I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Thursday, right? So I want you to sleep for 4 days. But he does say here that that the basic idea is that if you think about it in terms of mashpia and mushpa, the zohar, the male is always called the mashpia. It's like the Torah Shebichsav type idea, right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael is the mushpa. That's the nekeva. So we talk about oral the Torah Shebal Peh. Right, that which is mushpa, and that which comes from, I guess, his orusa dilatata, coming from below, that's the feminine side, that's the human being, that's us. So ruach baskol is related to that, right? Whereas binyanav from the Torah Shebichsav, you're looking at something like that. That's really from the av, meaning from the mashpia, from the Torah Shebichsav, from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that's his orusa dilaela from above, from the midas hazochar. So that's briefly what he says. We'll look at it a little further, then hopefully Bez Hashem next week, as I said, tomorrow Thursday won't be here. Next week we'll look at the Ikar Shvi.